The Orange County Board of Commissioners had a big decision to make last night. They had to appoint a new board member to fill the District 2 seat left vacant by Renee Price after her election to the State House. Whom did they choose? 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has the answer.
Phyllis Porte Ascott was unanimously appointed by the six elected commissioners during the board's meeting on Tuesday night. The Durham real estate broker and first vice chair of the Orange County Democratic Party was selected from a group of five applicants. Porte Ascott and three others, Brenda Stevens, Horace Johnson II, and Natalie Zimba, made their case to the board before a public paper ballot vote. Renee Price, who served as chair of the board for 2 years, was re-elected to the District 2 seat in 2020 before vacating it, meaning that Porte Ascott will now serve for 2 years before the seat is up for election in 2024. She was also the candidate heavily preferred by the Orange County Democratic Party, with 77.5% of the votes during the party's most recent meeting going toward Porte Ascott to be recommended to the county commissioners. During Porte Ascott's comments on Tuesday, she pointed to her encouragement and support toward other candidates in Orange County over the years. She then asked the commissioners for their support and selection for this new role after receiving those same things from the Democratic Party.
I appreciate all the residents who elevated their voices to ensure that you were aware of my hard work, integrity, and commitment to this community.
In her application, Porte Ascott described herself as being inspired to serve in elected office to help the community's most vulnerable residents continue recovering from the COVID-19 pandemic's effects. She listed her top priorities as creating affordable and reliable broadband access, improving affordable housing options, and expanding behavioral healthcare resources. On Tuesday night, Porte Ascott complimented and congratulated the current commissioners on their work to make Orange County a leader in the state. She said while she understands her commitments to District 2, she would work to make the best decisions for all of the county's residents while on the board herself.
I look forward to working collaboratively with you to create an Orange County that all of our residents can love because they can raise their families, live in their homes, find work in their community, and when needed, access services.
Ahead of the vote, Chair of the Board Jamesetta Bedford thanked all the applicants for putting in their names, and she encouraged those who were not selected to consider applying for future boards, committees, and roles.
And you all have demonstrated you have histories of service to this county and to this state, and I very much appreciate that.
Porte Ascott will be sworn into the Board of Orange County Commissioners during its next meeting on February 16th. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
One local government meeting tonight. The Chapel Hill Town Council convenes at 6:30 in the Chapel Hill Public Library. Council members will receive updates on downtown parking, plans to update the town's land use management ordinance, and the county's One Orange racial equity framework. In Raleigh, the state Senate signed off yesterday on SB 49, the so-called Parents' Bill of Rights that's controversial for a number of anti-LGBTQ provisions. The bill passed on party lines 29-18. It now heads to the state House, where Republican leaders say they will not move quickly on it. Democrats remain unanimously opposed to the bill, and if that continues to be the case, it will not have enough support in the House to overcome a governor's veto without at least some changes. Elsewhere in state news, the NNO reports a not guilty verdict on two misdemeanor charges for a minister who was arrested while leading a peaceful march to the polls in Alamance County in 2020. The Reverend Gregory Drumright was arrested on Halloween after Grand Police and Alamance Sheriff deputies pepper sprayed the marchers, saying some of them were in the streets without a permit, and Drumright wouldn't stop using a gas-powered generator on public grounds. Drumright was acquitted of all of his charges on Monday. Back locally, the town of Chapel Hill is about to play host to a major cultural event, the second annual Chapel Hill Black Film Festival, this Friday and Saturday at the Varsity Theater on Franklin Street. I spoke this week with festival co-organizer Michael Washington, as well as UNC student filmmaker and student body president Teddy Van, who's receiving the festival's Black Pioneer Scholarship along with fellow UNC student Jalen Neville.
We started this whole thing a year ago, myself, Chris Everett, Mike Wiley, who are all coming back this year, and we wanted to, you know, create a space. We want to have a dialogue. We wanted to partner with our best friends, and we wanted to honor the past, celebrate our legacy, and make way for the future of filmmaking here in North Carolina. The idea is that every single year we're going to have young folks launching their careers, based here in North Carolina, which is super important to us. We 100% believe that we can do what's happening in LA and Atlanta and all over the world here. It's really important to do that here when we want to use this film festival as a launch pad.
I would say that broadly, our film is about grief and personhood. And in all the work that we do as filmmakers, we really try to bring experiences to people and like just tell their stories in a way that feels authentic. That's what we love so much about film. And so with this experience, our wanting to just connect with the experience that we've all been having collectively and just grieving the lives that we had before over the last 2 years. And so I'm just really looking forward to doing that and to seeing everybody at the Chapel Hill Black Film Festival.
That's Teddy Vance speaking there. Michael Washington before that. Jayla Neville was also in the studio. And you can read a full transcript of that conversation on our website, chapelboro.com. To get more info and buy tickets for the Chapel Hill Black Film Festival, you can head to their website, chbff.com. It is time now for sports, brought to this hour by Alumni Hall. Ugly loss last night for Tar Heel men's basketball as UNC dropped their third straight game, 92-85 at the hands of Wake Forest. At final score, closer than it was for most of the game. Wake exploded out of the gate and built up a 22-point lead at halftime. Carolina roared back with 60 points in the second half alone. That cut Wake's lead to 7 in the final minute, but it was not enough. Caleb Love led the way with 24 points, including 3 three-pointers in the final minute of the game. Too late at that point, though, and Love was the only Tar Heel who hit any shots at all beyond the arc. Head coach Hubert Davis, usually optimistic, much less so after last night.
I didn't see Carolina playing out there. I just didn't see any type of energy, any type of competitiveness, any type of fight. I didn't recognize the team that practiced yesterday. I thought our 2 days of practice and was really good before this game. Even though we came up short last week, I was really proud of the competitive fight and just wasn't there, especially in the first half.
That's Hubert Davis speaking there with the Tar Heel Sports Network. That was after he shut the locker room doors and spent nearly an hour talking to the players after the game. Do or die time now for the Tar Heels. Now with 3 losses in a row, they're back home on Saturday taking on Clemson. Clemson at the top of the standings, but they're also riding a 2-game losing streak. So both teams looking to get back on track this weekend. Elsewhere in sports, a pair of Tar Heel women's basketball stars just got high honors this week. Juniors Deja Kelly and Alyssa Usby are on the 30-player midseason watch list for the Naismith Trophy, which goes to the National Player of the Year. They and the rest of the Tar Heels will be back in action tomorrow night on the road at Syracuse. Speaking of individual honors, congrats also to Tar Heel divers Alex Hart and Emily Grun, just named ACC Men's and Women's Diver of the Week, respectively, both for the first time in their careers after winning events at the Virginia Tech Invitational. And in tennis, UNC's Brian Cernok is your ACC Men's Player of the Week, and UNC's Ryan Segerman and Casey Kania are your ACC Men's Doubles Team of the Week after they all got wins against third-ranked TCU in what was ultimately a narrow team loss. Great individual performances, though. Meanwhile, in women's tennis, the bracket is out for the ITA National Team Indoor Championships in Seattle. UNC is the 2 seed, and they'll face Pepperdine in Friday's opening round. And finally, in women's lacrosse, the preseason ACC coaches poll is out, and UNC is the favorite once again to repeat as conference champions. No surprise there, Carolina's the 6-time defending conference champ, and they won the NCAA title last year. Caitlin Wurzberger, Emily Knowles, and Brooklyn Walker-Welch also earned individual preseason All-ACC honors. Carolina's season begins this Saturday at home against James Madison.